It's movie time.
Yeah, it's a tourist trap. Tourist
and
trap.
It's funny because I had been wanting to do this. This was actually one of the first movies that I wrote down, like in our initial
list.
Brainstorming session about what we were going to do. And then we had somebody on YouTube be like, oh, you should do Tourist Trap. I'm like, yeah, it's on the list. And then I think he's like commented like two more times. He's like, still waiting for that. And I'm like, damn.
Yeah, so being pestered into Tourist Trap.
We were going to do it anyway. But then I was like, okay, if we can find it.
Yeah.
Because we don't own it.
No.
So I said, you know, we'll watch it and we'll do it.
You can see a pretty bad transfer of it on YouTube. That's what we watched.
Yeah, a couple people have put it up. Yeah.
We've both seen it a couple times.
But
already,
I've seen it before,
anyway.
Yeah. And actually, if you want to read, I did kind of like a funny breakdown of it that's pretty long, probably 2 years ago now, on my blog, Goddess of Hellfire. So if it's just goddessofhellfire.com and just search Tourist Trap, you'll find it. But I wrote a big long thing about it. Now, the thing about Tourist Trap is that I think I first heard of it when one of my favorite books when I was growing up was Stephen King's Danse Macabre, his nonfiction, you know, he's kind of talking about horror like throughout in entertainment. And I read that book. I still have it, but it's fallen apart. I've read it so many times. All the pages fell out. And he actually mentioned Tourist Trap in there. Sure. As one of his favorite underrated movies from the 70s.
Yeah.
So I actually sought it out like sometime in the mid to late 80s. It was on cable a lot, I feel like, in the 80s.
This is one of the ones where I was a little kid and my babysitter Kimmy, who is looked just like Princess Leia, I had a hugest crush on her.
I know, I've heard this story.
She would take me to the matinee with some of her friends, you know. Little teenage girls, and I saw the trailer for this.
Yeah.
And the trailer scared the crap out of me, man. It scared the shit out of me. Those screaming mannequin heads and stuff. Yeah, it really scared me. But I never got to see the movie back in those days. Actually, the first time I saw it was recently.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago. It's a good movie.
I do feel like this is one of those ones where, you know, I did see it back in the 80s, but I do feel like if you had seen it when it first came out or when you were a little kid, it was probably like super creepy because it really does have a lot of really effective, creepy visuals in it.
The movie, for some reason, kind of reminds me of another movie called Funhouse.
Yeah, it is. It does have the same kind of vibe.
About that level. Chuck Connors in it's weird. This is one of the weirdest roles he's ever been in.
I really liked him in this. I think he wasn't actually the first choice. I think they wanted, their first choice was actually Jack Palance.
Yeah, about the same.
But he said no. And then their second choice was Gig Young. He also said no. So Chuck Connors was their third choice.
Okay.
Wah, wah. But he said yes. But actually, I really, really liked him in this because.
Yeah. It's weird.
I liked him because you could buy him as just a nice folksy old dude.
Yeah, in his overalls.
And you could buy him as like a creepy weirdo also.
Yeah.
Like he came across as like very sympathetic but also kind of threatening.
Yeah. I liked the movie. It kind of reminded me of like I said, Funhouse.
Yeah.
Out there with like maybe Motel Hell. Remember Motel Hell? About like that. About this weird guy who lives in a house, almost kind of like in Psycho.
Yeah.
And he has a house and it's filled with mannequins and.
They're like some of them are animatronic.
Yeah, and he's turning people into mannequins.
Yeah.
And then you find out that the mannequins can move, and you're not really sure why. But I think what they're talking about is, you know, that he has psychokinesis. That's what it seemed like.
Well,
pretty cool.
Yeah, and that I think that's one of the best things about this movie is that it really has kind of a weird. I mean, it's a pretty weird premise when you think about it. On the surface, it seems like it's going to be your standard slasher flick. There's like all these kind of, you know, teenager 20-something college students.
Yeah.
They're going on a vacation. They get a flat tire. And then they end up having to go to this out-of-the-way, you know, tourist trap. It's like a wax museum, but it's mannequins. And to get help with the car and everything. And then they start getting bumped off one by one. But the way that it's filmed and kind of a lot of the set pieces is kind of different. And even though, there's a killer and he wears a mask and there's all these creepy mannequins and stuff. But I think the psychokinesis angle.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
That's kind of unheard of. Well, not really unheard of, but it's a rare component of this type of movie.
Yeah, what they're talking about basically is almost like a Poltergeist episode.
Yeah. Well, and that's what the opening scene where the first guy, Woody, he's going, you know, he went off to get one of his tires fixed, and he finds this sort of abandoned gas station or service station or whatever, and he goes in the back room and, like, all the shit starts flying out, and all these mannequins pop out and they're laughing. So it's a really creepy scene.
Yeah.
And we were talking about how cool it was because it was filmed in, like, broad daylight. It's not nighttime or anything.
Right.
But it's still really unsettling because this is kind of the first scene of the movie, and they don't explain anything.
No.
They're like, what's going on? Is it a ghost? Is it a booby trap? What is it? So they don't really explain it. And then they just follow the rest of the kids while they're looking for Woody and finding this other.
Yeah. It's pretty weird. Museum. I mean, you know, you got a guy who's, I guess he's a poltergeist focused and he's crazy and he's a killer. And these mannequins kind of carry out his little fantasies. They carry out his whims. It's weird. I guess through psychokinesis.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost kind of like, if he can do that, then what is he? Is he kind of like a Sith Lord for out of Star Wars? Like a crazy Sith? Or what is he? You know? They never really explain it. He's kind of like Phantom of the Opera in a bit.
Yeah.
Where he wears a mask over his face. And,
yeah. He looks a little bit like Phantom of the Opera crossed with Leatherface.
Yeah.
Like, it's that kind of look.
Yeah, and he's got multiple personality disorder.
Yeah.
And it's pretty neat. And towards the end, I mean, as characters get turned into mannequins, the one surviving chick, I don't know if I'm going to spoil the end of it, she tries to escape with all the mannequins. And she does. She escapes with all the mannequins in her car. So are the mannequins also kind of possessed by the spirits of the victims? Or did she just think that that was the situation? I don't know.
They kind of leave that vague, honestly.
Yeah.
I think the initial, it's funny because from what I read on the Wikipedia page, the initial conception of the story did not have the psychokinetic angle.
Okay.
But this was produced by Charles Band, who also produced Reanimator and a bunch of other movies too. He had the big Full Moon production or whatever it was called, or Empire Pictures.
Yeah.
So he produced a lot of those kind of horror comedies and stuff. You know, and he directed some as well. He didn't direct this one. This was a guy named David Schmeller. Although John Carpenter was the first choice to direct this.
I would have loved this as a Carpenter flick.
It might have been good as a Carpenter flick.
You know, it kind of fits into there. If the transfer quality that we saw was better, it would probably kind of fit right in with a Carpenter.
Yeah, I would like to see it on a better transfer because I've only seen it like on VHS quality.
Yeah, it would be nice if there was a Blu-ray release.
Yeah.
Maybe there is. I don't know.
There very well may be. Because so much of this movie has to do with the whole atmosphere.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, it's like a slasher, but it's not gory, really. I don't think there's hardly any gore in it.
It did have some good 70s atmosphere, but it also delivered. It showed those mannequins moving, and it showed some people, you know, tied up and captive. And, you know, so it wasn't all atmosphere like some of the 70s movies were. It did deliver on the promises.
But yeah, I think the coolest thing, like I said, they don't explain how this guy has these powers.
No.
I thought the implication was, now they don't say this in the movie, I don't think. I thought the implication was that he was kind of capturing these people's souls, sort of.
Okay, well, I didn't
like putting them in.
That may be. That may
the
be.
The mannequins.
Which that may, well, he was claiming that.
Yeah.
Wasn't he?
Yeah.
But I don't know if that was actually happening. Although, does it matter?
Yeah, you it
know,
doesn't really.
Does it really
I'm just
matter?
Saying it's, you know, that's, I kind of, that was kind of what I took away from it.
I thought he had psychokinesis and he believed he was
it could have been that
souls
also.
In there. And that maybe the girl who survived thought the same thing also. But he was tripping. He was obviously insane.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. Maybe I'm tripping. Maybe he really could do it.
But,
I
mean, you know,
if he can move a mannequin with your mind, many of them. He was animating the mannequins.
Yeah, pretty much. And he was making them, like, fall on people and attack people. And their mouths were opening and shoot people and stuff.
Yeah.
And one of the coolest things, I think, some of the best scenes.
He could make them talk, too.
Yeah, that's right.
They made funny noises and weird gasping sounds.
And he could make them, he could do other people's voices.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he could make other people's voices come out of them.
Yeah.
Because a couple of times when people were looking for their friends, he'd be like, hey, so-and-so.
He was chasing that one girl through the woods and he threw the head of that mannequin and it landed on the ground. Remember, with his jaws open and closed and trying to bite her? Weird.
That was really, I think that was the creepiest part of the movie for me was those mannequins. I mean, mannequins are always creepy, but then, like, the mannequin would slowly turn its head and then its jaw would drop open. And I was like, blah! It's really creepy.
Yeah, and some of them kind of remind me of that mannequin from Saw.
Yeah.
Where the mouth is.
Yeah, it does kind of look like
kind of puppet marionette type looking mannequin.
Yeah, yeah. Kinda
some of them
look
like real mannequins, like out of a department store, and some of them didn't.
Yeah. Kind of like that James Wan movie, too, Dead Silence with the ventriloquist.
Yeah.
Kind of. I don't know, man. Ventriloquist dummies and mannequins, it's always, like, creepy. Because they look like people, but they're not people.
Yeah.
So you got that, like, uncanny valley thing going on.
It wasn't really clear to me whether or not the body of the victim was in the mannequin or not.
Well, okay. I'm not really sure, because there was one scene. I don't know if you were in the bathroom at this point. Mm-hmm. But there was one scene where the killer, he had two of the protagonists, he had them tied up. And they were watching him kill this girl that he had kidnapped earlier.
Yeah.
And she was, like, laying on the table. And he was, like, putting, like, plaster all over her face.
Yeah.
But I don't think...
to make a mold.
Yeah. I don't think he was putting her inside the mannequin. And he was making a mold.
They never did say what he did with the bodies.
So, yeah. I don't know what he did with the bodies.
Okay.
I don't know if he buried them someplace or anything. Right. But, yeah. He just... because they showed him, you know, making a mold of her face. And then later he was, like, painting it. And he's, like, so pretty. Yeah. You know. And he had that creepy, creepy voice.
Yeah. He had a weird voice he was making.
Yeah, it kind of sounded like, I can't really do it, but it sounded like kind of Muppety, kind of a little bit like,
so creepy.
Yeah, a little bit like Sling Blade. I kind of want to say it was slightly like Sling
Carl.
Blade.
Carl was the boy's name, I think, wasn't it?
That guy's name from Sling Blade? I can't remember now.
I think it might have been.
It might have been Carl. But he kind of sounded like that. And another thing too, other than the visual of the mannequins.
Yeah.
The best thing about this, I mean, some of the musical choices that they made were a little strange. Really only at the beginning. Because remember,
it had a happy soundtrack.
Yeah, there. Like at the beginning of the movie, it was like, do, kind of a song. And Tom's like, what the hell?
Yeah, kind of music is that? This can't be the right movie.
Yeah, but then as it goes on.
Yeah.
But one of the coolest things is when they have those scenes with the mannequins, like when the girl, like the final girl, when she's like trapped in the room with the mannequins and it's dark and they're all like turning their heads and their jaws are dropping open. And then there's that weird, it's not really music. It's almost kind of like,
coming out of their mouths.
Almost like they're talking or singing or something. And it's like super creepy. I just think that was really, really well done.
I'm going to try to find it on Blu-ray.
Yeah, it would probably look much better. Because, you know, it's a good movie, but I feel like it needs to be visually appreciated also. Yeah, because it has so much cool visual atmosphere.
The YouTube version,
it's like a VHS transfer.
It's pretty damn crappy.
Yeah, it's basically, that's the only way I've ever seen this movie, like I said, because, you know, I probably saw it in the 80s on VHS or something. Yeah.
They probably have a DVD.
I would think I had perceived that it was kind of a cult classic.
Right.
And even though I didn't see it at the time, but like I said, Stephen King, you know, it was his recommendation.
Yeah.
He talked about it in there, like how spooky and atmospheric it was.
Yeah.
So I later sought it out because I was sure, because like I said, I loved that book and I was trying to read a bunch
It's weirder than The Fog and creepier than The Fog.
Oh, way weirder.
Yeah, way weirder than The Fog. I wish it looked as good as The Fog does now. Like that, my Blu-ray Steelbook edition of The Fog looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
I'd love to see this movie look that good.
Yeah, now I'm curious we probably should have looked it up before we recorded this and see if there actually is one.
Right.
But I, you know, it definitely is something that needs that.
I got a feeling there is no Blu-ray release for this.
Yeah.
It's too obscure. You can check right there.
I don't know how obscure I think it is, but.
Okay, so actually we did just check and there is a Blu-ray release. You can get it from Walmart for like $12. I'll probably get that.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that on Blu-ray.
Damn, look at this. Tourist Trap Blu-ray 4-disc limited collector's edition.
Okay.
Holy crap.
Okay, so I was wrong. There is a Blu-ray release.
Yeah, like I said, I was pretty sure that it didn't do that great when it came out.
But it says cult classic now, I guess.
Yeah, it came out in 1979. I don't know if I mentioned that or not, but as it went into a heavy rotation on cable, so a lot of people saw it. So I think it kind of, you know, bubbled under as sort of like a sleeper hit.
That actually would do pretty well on cable because there isn't a lot of gore in it, but it is scary. It's creepy.
Yeah.
So that'd be something that they would show a lot back in the
80s.
Yeah,
they could actually get away with that because I don't really...
Back in the 80s, remember when we were kids, you know, on Showtime, there couldn't be that much gore in it.
Yeah.
They had some, but some of the real gory stuff, they never played it. You know, I don't remember seeing it.
Well, anything. I mean, I saw some gory stuff on there, but not, you know, not like Cannibal Holocaust.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
They're not going to show anything like
Italian levels of horror.
Right.
You know, horror.
They're not going to show that.
Italian levels of gore is what I mean. Italian levels of horror?
Yeah.
I mean, shit, yeah. It's early in the morning.
We don't usually record these in the morning, but I got woke up at like 7 a.m. kind of by the kitty and kind of because I didn't feel that good. So I just like, what the hell.
I'll
wake up and
ride,
get to work.
I want to go ride my Buell today.
And he wants to go ride his Buell today. Yeah. So he's like, well, let's just do the movie review. I'm like, even though it's 8:30 and I haven't finished a single cup of coffee yet, yeah. I probably sound like all like, what the hell?
Yeah.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But yeah, so.
I can recommend the movie. It's a good movie.
Yeah. If you like atmospheric 70s horror, like I said, not a lot of gore.
No.
I don't.
There's a lot of action though.
No nudity.
No.
There's implied nudity.
70s hotties.
Yeah, it's all hot chicks.
Halter top types. You know how they did tube tops, no bras, that type of thing. You know,
savvy. I actually liked the main girl that played Molly.
The brunette?
The blonde. The virginal one that felt sorry for Mr. Slauson was the name of the guy.
The brunette looked like one of the girls off of Charlie's Angels.
You know who that was? I think that was Tanya Roberts.
Okay.
And she was, it was bugging me the whole time.
Yeah.
But she was in The Beastmaster.
Okay.
And she was in View to a Kill.
Okay. View to a Kill is a good Bond movie.
Yeah.
Beastmaster.
Good theme song.
Yeah.
We love Duran Duran.
Exactly. Beastmaster was was done by the guy who did Phantasm, remember?
Yeah, that's right.
Same guy.
But I think that's where, when I was watching Tourist Trap, yeah. I'm like, yeah, Tanya Roberts. It's like, man, what do I know her from? It's Beastmaster.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
I recognize her from Beastmaster.
All right.
But I think the main girl that was
I didn't like that movie.
Well, I didn't either, but that's where I recognized her from. But the main girl that was in it that played Molly, I don't remember seeing her in anything else. I think her name was Jocelyn Jones. She was actually pretty good in this. I liked that she was, you know, like most final girls in the horror movies of that era.
Yeah.
She's going to be like, I'm the one that doesn't want to do anything, and I'm kind of square, and we shouldn't skinny dip. And
yeah, it was like a trope.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that was very common. And she kind of took it farther than most, you know. Mm-hmm. She kind of looked with her little Mormon outfit or whatever. It wasn't Mormon, but, you know.
Was her Republican outfit.
Yeah. Her 70s Republican outfit and her little braids.
Yeah.
But she kind of looked like Swiss Miss, now that I think about it, from the little cocoa packet.
Yeah.
But so she was the only one that felt sorry for him and was nice to him. Like, the other ones weren't mean to him, but they were, you know, they were kind of like, hey, red flag, this guy seems like a weirdo. But she was like, no, he's just lonely. And
right, yeah,
which he was, but also he was crazy.
It was an awesome flick.
Yeah, it was really good. And like I said, if you like atmospheric 70s horror like we do, don't expect a lot of gore, don't expect nudity or anything like that, but it's kind of a spooky, ghostly, kind of like the perfect cult movie, because it's like a slasher, but not. And the premise is kind of strange. They don't really explain, like I said, with the telekinesis. They don't explain it, really. Yeah. They're just like, well, here it is.
It's not as atmospheric and slow as Changeling, though.
No, it's not as I feel like the Changeling is more like a prestige type of
this
movie.
This did have action in it.
Yeah.
I'd probably put it on par with, like I said, you know, Funhouse or...
Yeah, I feel like Toby Hooper's Funhouse.
Yeah, about like that.
It's kind of that kind
more
of...
More action, I would say, than The Fog, actually.
Yeah. I definitely think it was.
It's pretty good.
But yeah, if you're creeped out by mannequins or anything. And speaking of which, so I think somebody else recommended this too. And this was a movie I'd forgotten about that we need to do. Magic with Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've seen
that. That was a creepy ass flick also.
Yeah,
we should do a whole ventriloquist dummy series. We'll do Devil Doll. That one wasn't that good. I saw it on Mystery Science Theater.
But Jenny and I can recommend this one. It's a good movie.
Yeah, and we're finally getting around to it. So.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to get the Blu-ray.
Yeah, this needs to be something.
I'm going
to
put that in my collection.
Four discs. What the hell's on all that stuff? There must be a lot of extra shit about
that. Was the regular release had four discs?
Well, the Blu-ray, no, it was a limited edition.
It was a limited edition.
Yeah.
Okay, how much was that? Did you see?
No, I didn't see how much that one was. I saw one on from the Walmart thing that was like $12.
It's worth $12. I'm not going to spend $40 on a four.
Well, no, but I'm just saying. I wonder what else.
It's not that good. If I was a freak on it about it, because you know, I want to buy the new Dagon release. That's coming out too.
Dagon's coming out this month.
Wasn't it this month? I think it is.
I think it's July.
Or July.
I think it's July 24th.
It was the same month as my birthday. Hint, hint.
Yeah. Everybody send him some presents.
No,
July 1st.
No, no, no.
That's your birthday.
But, yeah, so, you know, check this one out. You can watch it for free on YouTube. If you want to see the deluxe version, you can buy it on Blu-ray. I'd actually probably recommend the Blu-ray. Because if I had to do it over, watching it for the first time, I think I'd like to see the Blu-ray release. Probably give you a better impression of the movie. Because the YouTube, the transfer is so bad, it looks pretty damn crappy.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, you had to be kind of patient with it. You know what I mean? When I'm watching it, I'm going, okay.
We're so spoiled now.
We're very spoiled.
It's like we got so used. I mean, when I was growing up, it didn't really bother me that much. Because, you know, I would tape movies off Cinemax or whatever and just watch them over and over, and they just like look like shit.
Look
and
nobody
cared because.
But now, you know, the surround sound and HD and big,
you can see
big
everyone's
screens.
You can see everyone's pores, like,
right? Yeah,
and all their nose.
It's like you're just looking out the window.
Yeah,
you know, so you're not looking at a screen. You're looking out the window.
What a time to be alive!
Yeah, we made it. We made it this far.
That's right. I'm gonna keep on trucking until they invent something where I can plop my brain into a cyborg body, and then I'm just gonna live forever.
Yeah. We're going to download our consciousness into a Cyberman from fucking Doctor Who.
Yeah, I'm totally down for that.
Yeah.
All right. So remember, if you like the show, remember to like, share, subscribe. If you'd like to financially support the show, you can go to our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/13o'clock. Or you can go to our blog, which is 13o'clockpodcast.wordpress.com.
Yeah.
And there's a link in the sidebar to a PayPal account. Also, one of our fans has started a subreddit for our show.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention that. Yeah.
We'll probably mention this on the main show. But yeah, so if you want to go over there, it's just called 13 O'Clock Podcast. He's putting up the episodes one at a time. So I think like the first 10 or 15 are
got
up there.
Got a super fan.
Yeah, I know. I was wow, I wouldn't have even thought of that. So
sure.
Thanks,
you guys
thank
like,
you so much
share,
for doing
subscribe,
it.
Share our stuff. It really helps us out.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
And remember to tune in for our regular episodes every Tuesday and our movie reviews every Friday. And that will do it for today's installment. See you later.